Welcome to S-Class, the highest tier in podcasting. I'm your host, Justin, and today we bring to you a very special segment. Yep, that's right. It's Ruri Dragon Watch. Let's go live with our resident Ruri expert, Robert, with the Down Bad Dragon forecast for today.
I have excellent, excellent, excellent news for all 1.7 trillion fans of Ruri Dragon. We are back. And we are better than ever. Ruri Dragon, after a year and a half plus hiatus, after six chapters.
20 months, I counted.
Somehow is back into the pages of Shonen Jump. If only temporarily, because it's getting moved to Shonen Jump Plus. But we are back. Ruri is here, and she is here to stay.
What is the Down Bad Dragon forecast of the day, Robert? What has happened in the last 4 weeks since we've had week-to-week consistency after that seven-chapter hiatus?
Well, apparently, when you get impregnated by a dragon, your dragon spawn has electrical powers. Oh. So we spent about a month trying to figure out how to, you know, get that electricity under control so we don't murder our entire school with electric shocks.
Sounds like it's storming outside, Rob.
It is very, very stormy. However, Ruri's mother seems to have things under control and brighter skies are ahead.
Beautiful. Looks like sunny dragon weather for the future.
Ruri Dragon is back, and honestly, if you haven't read it yet, you're wasting your life. There's no reason to read anything else once you have Ruri Dragon.
Thank you, Robert, and that'll be our Ruri Dragon Watch forecast of the day, and hopefully...
Let me say this, Justin. If it goes on another hiatus, I don't know if I can handle that.
We'll have to bring this segment back. This is a one and done, but it could happen. I wouldn't put it past them.
It better be one and done.
And now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Rob, you didn't see that one coming, did you?
No, I mean, Ruri Dragon came back and One Piece left. So, you know, it's the circle of life.
Tis the circle of life. You could say things are on the brighter side now that we switched out for something even better.
Yeah, I'd much rather have Ruri Dragon and One Piece can have its hiatus. I don't really care anymore.
You have the goat of all manga and One Piece.
And One Piece, yeah.
In other news, I've been watching something that is not Ruri Dragon. It's called Solo Leveling.
Is that the Korean one?
That's the Korean manhwa. That's like maybe the best-selling Korean manhwa, I believe. Do you know anything about this one?
No, I heard that it wasn't Japanese, so I refused to watch it. Because I am, you know, a snob.
So, Solo Leveling, just very high-level synopsis. There's a phenomena globally where these monster gates are popping up and people can kind of isekai themselves into the monster world and hunt down monsters in these dungeons, and if they do, they get a reward, and these rewards are worth a lot of money. Our main boy is a weak-ass E-class hunter. He can't even beat, like, a slime, or he always gets injured. And in the first couple episodes, he pretty much gets eviscerated by, like, a mega boss-level monster, and he gets reborn with this ability to level up, but he doesn't tell anybody about it. It feels a little bit like a generic isekai, but people are loving it. And let me tell you, I am completely whelmed. Not underwhelmed, not overwhelmed. I watch every episode and I look forward to it. But then when I finish, I say, okay. And I don't say, wow, that was amazing. So, and I don't say that was bad. I'm just whelmed.
It's about what you would have expected is basically it.
I think I want more, but I also can't ask for more. If that makes any sense at all.
It feels like you're saying that you see potential for more, but you're satisfied with what they have. However, you're not blown away by it.
I'm certainly not blown away. Most recently, he fought a boss monster, this Red Knight character, and people were like, oh my god, this totally delivered on what the manhwa was. And I was like, did it though? Did it? I was like...
How would you compare it to Shangri-La Frontier? Because it sounds similar.
This is exactly what was in my notes. And I think that what's great about Shangri-La Frontier, it's like, do you remember any of the boss monsters besides like the wolf and the knight?
I feel like those were the only boss monsters, no? Oh, there was a spider too. There was a spider.
There was that fish thing that had legs that jumps in the river.
Oh, right. Yep.
There's like a bunch of them.
Yeah, in the swamp.
Yeah, the swamp monster. Yeah. There's a bunch of them, but you don't remember them because... Video game monsters don't have character. They don't have personality. Like, Ganon has personality. A Goomba does not. That makes sense.
Right, yeah. It's the one-off bosses.
Yeah, and because they're fighting monsters who do not have personalities or motivation, it feels cold. It feels a little empty. And the thing that makes Shangri-La interesting is that our character is a total weirdo, and he's just like kind of ridiculous. Whereas our main character here, he's just paint by numbers generic in the sense that he just wants to be stronger.
Right, so you're going with your typical kind of shonen anime protagonist, and you're not having enemies that have personality to play off of, it sounds like, right?
Exactly. Right now, like, there's other hunters and guilds who kind of have a thing against him, but right now, like, they're pretty minor. They don't feel dangerous, and because he's just going dungeon by dungeon killing these monsters, it sort of feels like, okay, he's getting a new power up. Okay, cool. I've seen this before.
Yeah.
So that's what I have to say about Solo Leveling, the hottest anime of the season. I am whelmed.
Is that the hottest anime of the season?
What would you say is the hottest anime of the season? Besides Hokkaido Gals.
Ah, man.
Are super adorable.
I would say Hokkaido Gals are super adorable. No, it's probably Dungeon Meshi, honestly.
That was next on the dock. It wasn't next on the docket, but let's move it there. If you don't mind, can I start off on this one?
Oh, absolutely. Be my guest, because the last time we spoke about it, you were kind of lukewarm on it.
I believe the exact words were, Dungeon Meshi is the perfect C anime, and then I also put my hands up in the air and said, yeah, Dungeon Meshi, yeah, you know? I owe you an apology, Dungeon Meshi. I wasn't familiar with your game. Robert, you convinced me to watch this while we were playing ball last week. Wow.
Yeah, it really goes in an entirely different direction, and you see like a plot start to form out of what I thought was just your, you know, kind of slice of life cooking anime, and it is substantially more than that now.
Absolutely. Like, this is the thing that really threw me for a loop. Like, I watched like 5 episodes in a row, and I was like, oh yeah, this is still fun. It's picking up the pace. And then freaking one girl gets freaking headshotted by like a water laser cannon. I'm like, whoa, I just met her and she's dead. And then maybe like 2 episodes later, I'm like, we're at the dragon already? I was like, is this a 12 episode season? And I don't know why. Maybe I went on Mal to like update my episode count. And I was like, this is a 24 episode season? And I was like, where is this going?
And it went. It most definitely went.
Yeah, I don't know. How are you feeling about things?
Have you watched the most recent episode?
I believe I'm 1 episode behind, perhaps.
So I would say that the newest episode that you probably haven't seen yet adds an entire different layer of plot, and we're going like far further with this show than we would have thought.
Okay, if I probably haven't seen it based on what you said, because the most recent one I saw, there was some dark spell casting happening, was the most recent thing.
Right. Okay. We go beyond that quite a bit.
I read in the comments of that episode, because other people had elicited the same reaction as I did, and they're like, manga readers were like, no, this gets to some Berserk level shit. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I could see that coming, honestly. Now that I've watched what I've watched, I can see we're going in a different direction. And I'm curious to see how they maintain the delicious part of Delicious in Dungeon, but I guess that's why Senshi is still along for the ride.
Wow, things change in one episode, huh?
Yeah.
As our
all about it, though. I'm down with
okay,
it.
Okay, you answered the question I was about to ask, which was, as our slice of life guru and our grim, gory, darkness non-guru, you're still feeling it.
Yeah, because I never really felt it was a full-on slice of life to begin with, because there was action. You know, even if the action didn't feel plot relevant, it was still there. And it's also not as grim, dark, serious as some of those other series, because it still maintains the humor. And it still maintains, like, the lightness. And I think it just has this art style that can never deviate too far from being fun. It has a very just fun fantasy art style that I could never get that feeling of darkness too much with. In a good way. I do mean that in a good way, though.
Yeah, it has kind of a brighter palette, a rounder character design that kind of softens it, even if subtly. And there's also Emily Rudd throughout it, so I think you'll be okay.
Well, yeah, that helps. That certainly helps me. I do stand Marcel.
Elf Girls. Elf Girls are taking it to the next level this season.
Oh, I do have a video coming on S-Class of the renaissance of Elf Girls, so be prepared for that as well.
Is Plus Size Elf making a feature on this?
That's why I'm pushing the video back, because Plus Size Elf does not come out till July, and I need some thick-ass elves in my video to really take it to the next level.
need a little bit of meat in between those buns.
Yeah, no, we need some meaty elves, and we're going to get them. This is the renaissance of elves. We're in the golden age of elves.
For our 14 listeners, you heard it here first. Robert, why don't you tell me about Sandland?
Oh, man, I really... Obviously, you know, everything with Akira Toriyama has heightened that desire for his content. And Sandland comes out, you know, I don't want to say perfect, but at the perfect time, as that these the first 7 episodes of it were dropped all at once. And it just, it feels like textbook Toriyama in the best way. It's not like, you know, I don't want to use the word generic, but like everything you'd expect from a Toriyama story is in this. There's, you know, silly demons that are, you know, funny and not evil at all. And, you know, you have your machines, your weird ass vehicles that he just like absolutely spent all of his time designing and then said, all right, I made this really cool tank. Now I need to make a series around it, because all he cares about is drawing vehicles. And like they're switching up their vehicle like throughout the entire 7 episodes because, you know, Akira Toriyama loves drawing vehicles. And it's just, you know, it's a simple story. It's like a world of sand. They're, you know, all trying to find water. So this former general of, you know, the army is trying to find the water. He meets up with the demons to try to ask for help in getting the water. And then, you know, from there, your story ensues. But like, you know, it has its serious moments, but like they never last too long. And it has that vintage Toriyama charm and humor to it, even through the CGI art, which I don't love, obviously, but, you know, it seems to be, you know, ever-present evil in the industry these days.
It's growing. It's getting better with time.
Yeah.
So this entire season finishes the whole series, is that right?
So the first 7 episodes cover the manga that Toriyama wrote, I think, about 20 years ago.
Okay.
There's going to be another 6 episodes batch released in, I think, a month or so or a few weeks that are an original story that Toriyama came up with, but it wasn't it wasn't a manga.
That's crazy timing, is it not?
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Yeah. In addition to that, there's a Sandland video game coming out in April as well.
Wow, what a drop. Like,
yeah.
Totally random. Okay, that sounds cool. Yeah, I've been wanting to... After the news, and I had coincidentally started reading Dragon Ball like a month before he passed away, because I never read it before. Mm-hmm. And then he passed, and I was like, oh man, I kind of want to like look at Dr. Slumber, look at Sandland. And then I like opened it up. I opened up the first chapter that I found. I was like, I don't have it in me to like read this right now. I think watching might be a more digestible form at this point. But yeah, I'll definitely check that out later this year.
Banger OP too.
Okay. I'm excited.
Yeah.
The last piece of anime and manga content we have is Golden Kamuy. Have you heard of this one?
Yeah, he's got the little Jotaro hat, but he is not Jotaro.
He looks very much like Jotaro.
And there's a lot of snow.
There's so much
snow. Right? There's a lot of snow.
He has a little red blush on his face all the time. He's pretty cute.
It sounds a lot like Hokkaido gals are super adorable, actually.
I think they're connected, actually. They're not connected. Our story follows Sugimoto, the immortal, a lot of M's, and he is a Japanese man around the year 1900, and he was in the war against Russia, like, and he has survived like countless death incidents, like his face is covered in scars, and he just doesn't die. That's why they call him the immortal, and he's actually like a really nice guy. He just has to survive because he has things he's got to do when he gets back home, and his best friend dies. And his best friend's wife is going blind, and the operation to cure his best friend's wife is like tens of thousands of dollars, something that he doesn't have. And he has to bring her to America and all these things, and he promised his best friend on his dying on the battlefield that he'd take care of her. And then he hears about this legend of this giant pile of gold in Hokkaido. And apparently the gold, there's a map to the gold that was from the native Japanese people. They're called the Ainu people. They're sort of like the native Japanese, sort of like how we have Native Americans. The gold is located on the backs of 24 prisoners. The 24 prisoners, they each have a section of the map tattooed onto their skins. And so a manhunt begins for this gold between him, a section of the army, and other random people who want this gold to skin these prisoners and form this giant map in Hokkaido and find the gold. And he does this by joining forces with this little Ainu girl, this like 13-year-old girl who's like a tribal girl. And they have a really cool dynamic where she's like teaching him how to survive in the harsh kind of winter. And she's like, oh, look, I caught a squirrel. Like, you're my guest. Please eat the brain. It's a delicacy. And he's like, she's like, is there something wrong? And she gives him this kind of like really angry face. He's like, there's nothing wrong. And he spoons it. He's like, it's delicious. And this happens like every few chapters. It feels like a real love letter to Ainu culture. And I feel like I'm learning a lot about history, about their culture, while also like enjoying this entertaining adventure, comedy, battle, manga all at once.
Why did you choose to read instead of watch? I know the anime is pretty popular.
I had heard that the early anime, there's some really messed up CGI. Like, there's a fucked up looking bear and fire. And I heard that years ago, and I just chose not to proceed that way. So I went with the manga.
Bother with it, yeah. Do you think it's building to him banging his friend's wife?
So... So he's actually, I think, in love with his friend's wife, but he ended up like letting his friend get with his girl, with that girl.
Okay, but now he's dead.
Now he's dead. And yes, he may.
So do you think he's going to bang his friend's wife?
I feel like he feels shitty about it, but he might end up doing it.
But he's gonna
he doesn't feel that shitty, you know? It's like, I'm gonna get you a whole bunch of gold, you're gonna get eyes again, you know, maybe gonna be a little something.
Yeah. It feels like marriage at the end of all that is probably the least that could be done for everyone.
It'd be nice. A lot of people are dying. Yeah. A lot of the people who are after this gold are just total loony bins. One guy with glasses fucks a bear in one of the recent chapters that I read. I'm about 100 chapters in. And he also fucked a tree. Yeah.
We've all been there. Yeah. You know, it happens. That's life.
Down bad.
Yeah. If you can do a dragon, you can do a tree.
Well said. I think that's the title.
Yeah, that's it.
If you can do a dragon, you can nailed do a tree. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Rob. That's a succinct way to end that segment. All right, on to video games. Robert, talk to me about Pokemon Cafe. I thought this was like,
oh my god, I don't know why I decided to play this garbage ass like free to play puzzle games. It's just littered with microtransactions.
It's a mobile game,
but it's got this really cute style. No, I think it's also on mobile, but I got it on the Switch. It's touchscreen only. But it does have cute little Pokemon wearing little chef outfits, so I do enjoy that aspect of it. But the puzzles themselves aren't even fun or challenging. I don't know why I downloaded it. I don't know why I played it for like 6 hours. I am never touching it again. I'm already done with it.
Is this the Pokemon Sleep and Pokemon Unite of the last few years?
It's absolutely yes. It's going to be at the very bottom of our video game of the year list.
Out of spite? Or just because it's that bad?
No, it's not even that it's bad. It's just that it's not good. And it's so, like, predatory with the microtransactions. There's, like, 17 different currencies in it.
That's it?
I don't even know what some of them are used for. I have, like, a ton of money, like, whatever their currency is, and I don't even know where to use it.
That's their intention. I think they've done a very good job.
It's ridiculous. I'm done with this.
I played Undertale. Have you played Undertale?
I played 40 seconds of Undertale, like, years ago, and I was like, I don't really feel like doing this right now. And then I never got back to it.
It's so funny. People love Undertale. Like, there's an obsession with the online community of Undertale. I don't think I get it. Like,
it's beyond obsession. It's like, it's sickening. Beyond fandom. Yeah.
I'm like maybe 2 hours in. Do you know how, like, why it's weird? It's very Earthbound based.
Yeah, I know the mechanics I didn't jive with, which is why I dropped it, like, very early on.
It's quirky. Like, you have funny, silly conversations with, like, people, and you can either try to, like, talk to people or, like, date them or whatever, but your goal is not to kill them. But you can also kill them. Like, it's a choice. And there are different outcomes based on the route you choose. I'm just going with a neutral route just to see what happens. And if I feel so inclined, if the ending is that spectacular, I'll go a full pacifist route. But, I don't know, like, I'm definitely not obsessed with it 2 hours in. I'm like, it's cute, good soundtrack, but, like, I'm not having a great time.
Well, no, that's the thing that it's definitely most known for is the soundtrack. I know, I think Masahiro Sakurai met with the creator of Undertale
This little white boy
like,
from...
Sakurai's a huge fan. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Just because, like, everybody loves his music. I think his music is in one of the Pokemon games, too. I think it's him.
That's crazy.
Where they used, like, his music. It really propelled him, yeah.
I mean, credits to the kid. I mean, like, he's probably older than us now. Who the fuck knows? But he created this game on his own entirely, and it's, like, an interesting concept. But, like, I just don't see the hype. I want to see the hype. I hope I like it as I finish it, but I'm not there.
Nah. Didn't do it for me.
40 seconds, not good.
Hey, I've been told that 40 seconds are enough to know that something isn't good.
That long, huh? Usually much shorter. You know what they call me?
No.
One Pump Man.
One Pump Man, yeah. I did actually know that. I was the one that christened you that name.
It was our first time.
Oh, dear God, enough.
Robert, what time is it?
Is it time for Big News Morgan's breaking news?
It is time.
Or do you have a mini game for me?
It is time for Big News Morgan's breaking news.
I'm a little upset you don't have a mini game for me this week.
Oh, don't you worry, because our first piece of news is the passing of Akira Toriyama, RIP to the GOAT, and Dragon Ball Super's on hiatus indefinitely. One Piece is on hiatus for a month. We talked about it briefly with the mention of Sandland. How are you feeling?
I immediately, like, that day went and watched the first Budokai Tenkaichi in Dragon Ball, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was just as good as I remembered it. Honestly, even better than I remembered it. There was something so charming and innocent and perfect about it, and I really just, like, vibed with it and felt good watching it.
I coincidentally was around that area while I was reading Dragon Ball when he passed, and I gotta say, Ranfan's armpits were looking superb.
And honestly, if a man can have that as his legacy, then he has lived a beautiful, wonderful life, you know?
I don't know about you, like, obviously it's a great loss to the industry, and he's like a legend, but it didn't feel as painful as when Miura died, and I feel like we both like Toriyama more than we like Miura's work, maybe, give or take. Or you definitely, but did you?
I'd say so, for sure.
Did you feel like it hurt as much?
Miura just felt more tragic in a way. Mm-hmm. It felt so much more sudden and like avoidable almost. Whereas Toriyama, he was not old, he was almost 70, and he lived such a full, brilliant life, and he finished all of the projects he started, whereas Miura's been working on one thing for 40 years, and it, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
So you feel that tragedy in him, like, constantly suffering to try to finish his art and taking these long, long hiatuses, and then, you know, even then, you weren't able to finish it. It has that sadness to it.
That's well said. I wasn't thinking of it like that. I was also thinking about it just, like, from the tone of the series. Like, when Miura dies and we have something like Berserk where it's just so miserable, so sad, and you're like, you almost feel like he's guts, whereas like with Toriyama, it's just sort of like he's having a good time, and it's like you lived out a good life.
Yeah.
So it felt softer. Like it was a very, it sounds like a very difficult passing that he had, but the feeling it left us wasn't as harsh.
I think also like everything with Toriyama has just been such a celebration, because Toriyama had his hand in so much. Like, you know, it's not just the manga industry, it's the video game industry as well. And, you know, you have all of these people that he affected. Every single author in Shonen Jump read Dragon Ball or Dr. Slump and took influence from that. And then on the other side, you have, you know, Dragon Quest, you have Chrono Trigger, you had, you know, there were a few other games that Toriyama worked on and did the art for. And it's just such a, I mean, the man invented the slime. You know, that is the character. That is the, like, just every, like, every game, every isekai anime, they have a slime, and that's Toriyama.
Not to, like, admonish his legacy, but it's like a little raindrop, and we're like, amazing.
But exactly. But that's the thing. It's being able, with such simple lines and such simple designs, to create something so iconic and something that can't be topped. It is such a simple design, and it's perfect.
Yes. Indeed, a good way to send him out. And I think there's no better way to celebrate this man than by bringing in our second surprise segment of the day. It's Robert's Ranking Corner.
Yes. All right, what do you got for me?
And today,
what are we ranking here?
We dedicated to the late and great godfather of shonen battle manga, Akira Toriyama. Today, Robert will be blindly ranking 7 Dragon Ball Z movies.
Oh, no. Okay, okay.
Are you ready, Robert?
I'm ready. Yeah, yeah.
Number 1, Tree of Might.
Tree of Might. And this is not Christmas Tree of Might. This is the original Tree of Might, not the Team 4-star version.
It is Tree of Might. Although, I will, you know, I will leave it to you whether or not you want to do Team 4-star influence.
No, no, no. I'm going to do the real
one. I think
ones.
You should,
though, I'll do the real
one. For Toriyama's sake.
The real Tree of Might is atrocious, so I'm going to put it at 6. Because there's probably something worse than it.
At number 6, Tree of Might. Number 2, Fusion Reborn.
Fusion Reborn. We loved Fusion Reborn the first time we saw it. Thought it was fantastic. Then we rewatched it, and it was not nearly as good. But I do like the concept of Janemba. We get a cool fusion in it, of course. Man, I'll go 3 for now. Because I do have positive memories of it, even if it's not that great. None of them are that good, so.
That's exactly how I feel about Fusion Reborn. Like, I remember we loved it. We were like, this is the greatest movie. We watched it on my laptop at my old house. And then we're like, John, you have to watch it. And we were both sort of like on our knees, like waiting for it to get good. We're like, why isn't it getting good? And he's like, that movie was shit. And we're like, it kind of was. Third movie, Dead Zone.
You see, I actually kind of like Dead Zone. I don't know what it is about it. I think it feels like it could lead into Dragon Ball, even though technically it doesn't actually work. But there is something about Dead Zone that I enjoy. I'm going to... Oh, man. I'll have to put it at 4, though, I guess. Because I feel like there might be something I really like. And it's definitely not 2. It does not deserve 2. But I don't dislike it.
I really also like Dead Zone. I feel like it's just a really tight little mini story. And Garlic Jr. is kind of a cool bad guy. Simpler times.
It was simpler times.
Next one, Cooler's Revenge. This is the first movie, Cooler's Revenge.
Remind me what happens in Cooler's Revenge.
I guess that tells you. I believe this is the one with Icarus, and Cooler comes to Earth.
Oh no, the dragon?
Yeah, actually, the little dragon.
This one has some pretty good fights.
And Cooler comes and fucks up everyone's shit, and I think Piccolo gets the shit kicked out of him, and Goku goes Super Saiyan.
I guess I'll put it at 5.
Okay. Next one.
You know what? I'm saving 7 in case you give me Bio Broly. So,
number 5 we're at is Broly, Legendary Super Saiyan.
This is the original one?
This is the original one.
The original Broly movie? You see, I can't think of this movie without the Team 4-star one. Like, that every just line from that, like, just...
Ooh, daddy.
Your hair looks like lavender but smells like strawberry.
Team 4-star movie might be the greatest movie of all time, but this is the Broly the Legendary Super Saiyan movie.
I will put it at 2.
A little high, but
yes,
it's what you have. So you have 1 and 7 left,
I need
okay?
to save 1 and I need to save 7, though, for whatever else you have for me.
Okay, number 6, Broly, Second Coming.
7.
Well done, Robert. And your number one movie... What's your number one movie? Do you know what it is?
Well, my number one Dragon Ball movie would probably be Superhero.
Okay, well, the one I'm giving you is Super Android 13.
Oh, I love that one! That's another good one. That would be number one on this list of the ones you gave me anyway. That one is so good.
I think you did very well.
Yeah. Read it back to me.
So, 7, Broly Second Coming. 6, Tree of Might. 5, Cooler's Revenge. 4, Dead Zone. 3, Fusion Reborn, 2, Broly Legendary Super Saiyan, and number 1, Super Android 13.
I don't think I really would have done anything differently.
I'd probably knock...
I think that's just about spot on.
I'd probably knock Broly Legendary Super Saiyan down like 3 or 4 spots, frankly. I think that's a bad movie with a great character.
But it's Broly.
Do you remember the very last bit? Like, it's really bad. It's like, everyone's getting the shit kicked out of them, and they're like, how about we just give our energy to Goku, and he punches him really hard. And then the little green
waves.
We've
never tried that before.
The little green waves. It's not even like a like energy ki. It's like little green waves start waving towards Goku and then he punches him. And I was like, what an anticlimactic ending.
Yeah, I would probably switch that with Fusion Reborn and Dead Zone, honestly. But I'm pretty happy with the way this list
this
came
is
out.
Not a bad list. Well done. And that'll end Robert's Ranking Corner. Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. Our very last piece of news. The word isekai is being added to the Oxford Dictionary, along with a few other words. Amongst them being tonkatsu, donburi, okonomiyaki, White people don't know what okonomiyaki is. Onigiri. And,
wait, which one is that anyway?
Okonomiyaki is a Kansai pancake with fish flakes and seafood and stuff. You would hate it.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
It's kind of like the, it's like a pancake version of takoyaki, which is the octopus ball.
Right.
And then the last word I don't even know. Tokusatsu. Oh, tokusatsu is the superhero genre?
Could have fooled me.
Well, that's the news.
Boy, let me ask you something here. Why? I don't understand food being in the dictionary. Like, there are obviously other Japanese dishes or even other global dishes that aren't in the dictionary. But why? What makes a food ascend to being worthy of a dictionary?
I think food makes perfect sense. It's sort of like sushi, paella, pasta. Pasta is an Italian word. It's not. It didn't get translated into English.
Right. I get that. I'm saying, like, what determines what goes into a dictionary as is and what needs a new name?
Why the fuck does isekai get added to the dictionary?
I hate isekai. You know that. But I think it's just like sushi has probably been in there. Ramen has probably been in there forever. What took so long for donburi to get in there? Like, why have we just decided, like, instead of just saying it's a bowl of rice and some other stuff, why are we now saying, okay, donburi?
Because for the last, like, 70 years, people didn't care enough about what donburi was, but now everyone's going to Japan, and now it's popular enough that it's easier to say donburi rather than rice with a bunch of stuff on top. I guess it's just usage, wouldn't you say? Like, isekai, like, it's easier to say isekai than it says a transportation, another world anime, and it's just so commonly used that you just throw it in there.
But I guess my thing is, who is using the word isekai that wouldn't already know to use the word isekai or to have a conversation with somebody that would know what the word isekai means? Like, I'm not going to be like sitting around being like, man, I really like this show, but I don't have the word for it. And then going on dictionary.com and being like, ah, of course, isekai.
Let me ask you a better question. When's the last time someone's opened a dictionary?
I said go to dictionary.com, that, so I'm not even saying that.
When was the last time you went to dictionary.com, Rob?
Well, actually, I do it all the time because for my job, I need, like, good synonyms for things sometimes.
Is English your second language as well?
Head on over. No, not like you. I mean, I'm fluent in English, and I'm quite the Renaissance man when it comes to word usage. Unlike you, who's doing great. You know, you can barely hear even an inkling of your accent while we podcast, which is really impressive, and you should be proud
of it. Rob's bullying me.
I'm not bullying you. I'm gaslighting you.
You know what's really mean? I think a few weeks ago, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Our friend John was like, out of nowhere, he's like, I asked my new girlfriend if she thought you had an accent, and she's like, he totally does, but it's not Chinese. And I was like, where the fuck did this come from?
You see, I think that's even more insulting than what I say.
Oh,
because I'm saying, like, you know, you did grow up with Chinese-speaking parents, so I'm sure you did pick up on a little bit of an accent when they're speaking English. I don't think I'm wrong to say that. What she said is just, like, out of pocket.
He,
like,
just doesn't,
she's
speak,
like,
English,
you know, this guy just can't speak properly.
You know, the first thought that came to my mind when she said that was, like, I think that my nasal passages are so congested, maybe I sound different than normal English. Maybe that's why she thinks I have an accent, because there's no reason for me to have any other accent besides a Chinese accent, which I don't think I have. Write it in the comments. Do I have an accent? I need to know.
She just validated, like, 25 years of my gaslighting of you.
I don't even know what you think, but I don't want to know. We'll keep it a secret for the rest of my life. What were we talking about? Dictionary.com? Guys, let's just end this segment.
Yeah.
Robert, any closing thoughts on me not being able to speak English correctly?
No, you know, let's see what you got for us with your closing statement. You know, I think you can handle it. I think you've got a really good grasp on this whole podcasting thing in English. So let's see what you can do.
Minasan, arigato.
That was not English. Or Japanese. I don't know what you thought.
That was totally Japanese. Now you're gaslighting my Japanese. Sayonara. Oh, what a terrible ending.
I thought it was good.